Why do we pray? Why do you pray? The Lord commands us to pray. He invites us to pray and bring our requests. You know, it's that little motto that prayer changes things. But I think there's something else that God is after. Prayer changes me. Prayer changes me, and there are things that God will work in my life as I pray, as I take the Word of God and I pray over it. When was the last time you took a portion of Scripture and dealt with God about it? Lord, I don't have these things in my life. I'm not like that. I'm not like you. I don't have that love. I don't have that humility. And we begin to pray and seek God. Lord, change me. You know, sometimes we pray about things and situations and it seems as if nothing is happening, right? You say, what's going on, Lord? But maybe God is wanting to change you. And it's through prayer, it's as we seek His face, as we come to that throne of grace, that we obtain the help that we need. He changes us. He changes us through prayer. Now tonight I'd like to just do something a little bit different. We're going to roll back the clock, if we could. I've done this a number of years now, and I like to expose you young people and maybe some of you who are new to camp to some of the older saints that have gone before. And tonight I selected a tape, a talk that our brother Gordon Gardner gave. And he gave it on August 3rd, and you'll hear it in his tape. It was an anniversary for him, a spiritual anniversary, and I'm not going to play the whole thing. Brother Gordon was a man of detail. And so the first half of the tape, he lays out what he's going to talk about. In the second half, he gives you the whole history. They go, and we're not going to listen to all that. It's good, but we don't have the time to listen to all that. But I want you to listen. The title of the message is Specifics in Prayer. Specific in Prayer. And he talks about how God would like us to come to Him with specific requests, needs within our own heart. And he speaks about an experience he had when he was 13 years old. Just a little bit more background. In the first part of the tape, he tells how he had to move away from the assembly or the fellowship where he grew up. He had been brought up in the Zion Faith Homes. He went there, I believe, as a little boy after his father died. But then they had to move away. He and his mother moved away to Massachusetts. And that's where we find him. Well, we'll pick up the tape where he says that they, I believe at 13 years of age, he came back to the Zion Faith Homes. But at the very beginning, I'm going to ask Brother Tom to go now and put on the tape. He sings a song, A Watchman in the Night. And I understand, I didn't experience this personally firsthand, but I understand he used to go off of Watch Rock at nighttime in a boat. And they'd have a campfire out on Watch Rock, and he would sing this from the water. And you'll hear how it'll fit in. I think that really, this song really describes his life. I think God placed him
where the night of sin lies darkly, and afar the wanderers roam. I must keep the watch fire burning that will guide the weary home. 'Tis my Lord who loves the sin sick, who has made this duty mine. He has given to my keeping this fair gleam of light divine. Fire burning. I'm a watchman. I'm a watchman in the night. It is night upon the water where life's billows toss and roar. I must keep my watch fire gleaming on the sands upon the shore. 'Tis for this that Christ my Savior hath in love delivered me, that my life may help another who is out upon the sea.
Brother Gordon and his wife, Sister Caroline, they were the directors of Pilgrim Camp for almost 40 years. If you read the plaque that is on the wall at the front of camp, there's that brick wall. When you come to the entrance of camp, there's a plaque. And I believe that Sister Caroline died in 1984 and Brother Gordon in 1986. And the camp began in 1946. And God gave, now it's going to start again, I'm running out of time real quickly here. But his picture is in that room if you'd like to see it. He always looked like a very serious man, you know, until he laughed and smiled. And then, but God blessed us with his ministry. And he passed along many of the truths that have been important to this fellowship. He put them down in book form. Radiant Glory is one of his books. The story of Sister Robinson. He wrote some books about missionaries, about the gifts of the Spirit. Bread of Life was another publication that he edited for many years. That was kind of the thing that preceded Things New and Old, Bread of Life. And so God used him to preserve for us some very precious light that God had placed within this fellowship, and we thank God for his life. And many of the cabins were named by Brother Gordon, I guess all of them. He loved history. And I had the privilege as a young person, as a teenager, to sit under his ministry. And so now let's just give our attention. It's maybe just a 20 minute, if that, maybe 17 minutes. But listen what he says to us.
Sorry, I didn't tell that just for your amusement, for nostalgia's sake. And then in the providence of God, why in 1929 we were able to go back to Illinois to visit. And oh, how happy we were. How exceedingly, exceedingly happy we were to get back into real Pentecostal meetings and into the fellowship of the saints at that time. And it was such a tremendous, oh, it was such a tremendous joy. Such a tremendous joy. Of course, by that time I was 6 weeks or 2 months short of 14. And I might say this, the previous year, the previous summer, 1928, one of these ministers from Zion came to visit us in Massachusetts. And the Lord got a hold of me, I tell you. And that was a marvelous thing the Lord did. And this minister made me promise, it was after a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And actually, you know, this minister was just having a little visit with me and saw my spiritual need. And began to talk to me about my need of the Lord. And God began to pour out His Spirit. It was a hot, hot, hot July night. And I wasn't the least bit really, as you might say, comfortable. But at that time, this minister got me to promise that I would read my Bible and pray an hour every day. And so I began to do that very regularly, very systematically, very faithfully. And it was in the course of that time that some months later, the next spring, that God began to really fill me with the Holy Ghost. I wasn't seeking the baptism. In fact, because of circumstances, I was afraid of tongues. I was afraid of speaking in tongues. I didn't want to speak in tongues. And then the Lord just began to, as I was praying, just praying, and just seeking the Lord, the Holy Spirit just began from my innermost being to well up within me, and I realized I was going to speak in tongues, and I said, nothing doing. I was so afraid that of anything that might not be genuine and might not be real. But thank God, God delivered me from my fears and brought me into a precious experience at that time. And then it was that following summer that we returned to Zion, as I previously mentioned. And during the course of the visit, one day my mother and I were visiting with one of the ministers of the work there. And for some of you may be interested to know, it was a woman. Her name was Mrs. Robinson. And that was on the 3rd of August, 1929. My whole life was changed. My whole life was revolutionized. And in the course of our visit, we were just having a friendly sort of visit. She was wanting to hear the news from my mother and how the Lord had blessed her and used her, and she was interested in what was happening to me. And it was just, as you might say, a social visit. And then we just sank into the presence of the Lord. And God began to speak through this minister by the word of wisdom. And the Lord began to deal with me and said how that I needed to study the Bible for myself. Now, I've been reading my Bible and praying for an hour every day, and I'm sure that that was a preparation for the way in which the Lord used this ministry to speak to me. And the Lord said, now you want to you ought to really study the Word of God so that your life may be in accordance with it, and your thoughts and your feelings and your words and so on. And then the Lord began to speak through her in such a direct fashion. The Lord said to me, through this word of wisdom, the Lord said, the Lord is looking for the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Now, then the Lord said to me, now if you don't have those characteristics in your life, then you don't have the fruit of the Spirit. And God wants you to have the fruit of the Spirit. Of course, it was leading up to the fact that I should really pray. And then went on, said, now, you know, there's something else that the Lord is after. And the Lord is after that your thoughts. I remember I was just a 13-year-old boy, but the Lord was really getting at me. And the Lord said, you know, God wants your thoughts to be in accordance with the Word of God. And then that was when I was asked to quote Philippians 4:8. I had memorized that some years before. And the Lord really bore down on me then and said, now, you know, your thoughts are to be in accordance with the Word of God. You need to pray that the self-conceit, the conceit will be taken out of your life. Now, some of you, of course, may think I'm quite conceited and wonder if anything happened, but then, of course, you didn't know me when I was that age either. So, but the Lord said, you need to pray that the Lord will take conceit out of your life. Don't get stuck on yourself. And the Lord just, as it were, opened me up and let me see myself and let me be exposed. Not only was my mother present, but there were others present. And the Lord just said, now listen, Gordon, don't desire that people should honor you or notice you. And as God wants you to really get these things out of your makeup and out of your life, out of your disposition. And then the Lord said, this is why I mentioned something for you. You know, the Lord said to me, you know, you could probably teach these things to your Sunday school class, but you want to be sure that you practice what you preach and that you live what you talk about. Well, I needed all that, of course. I needed all that. And I tell you, God gave me grace to really, really earnestly, as a part in my hour of prayer and Bible study every day, to really call upon God, to pray over Philippians 4:8, to pray over the fruit of the Spirit, to pray that, as I've been told, that God would take the conceit out of me, that God would take this attitude of being stuck on myself out of me. I tell you, the Lord gave me grace. Of course, I had already promised to pray an hour and to read my Bible an hour every day. So now I knew something of what to pray about. And this is my point. I'm not telling this, as I said to be at the beginning, I'm not telling this story at all simply with fond reminiscences whatsoever. Not at all. But I feel that many people need to get a hold of, and young people, shall we say, but older people too can profit by this. We need to be specific in our praying. Now, you may not have a minister come to you and tell you something by the word of the Lord, as it was my privilege to do at that time, but we do have the Bible. Pure, and we ought to take what the Bible says, and we ought to really deal with God. Really deal with God specifically about our needs. And you ought to say, it wouldn't hurt every one of you, and especially it wouldn't hurt any of the young people here. It would do them good. You have promised to pray a half an hour a day, and to read the Bible as staff members. Now, what do you do in that time? I know some people don't know what to do. They don't know how to pray. They don't know how they should take these things and really be specific about them. You can't do anything better than to take the passage in Galatians that we all read and deal with God. Say, oh God, give me your love. God. And maybe the Lord will remind you that you had a little malice in your heart, or maybe some spite, or maybe some feelings of real antagonism towards somebody, maybe towards your parents, maybe towards some other member of your family. And if you want to know what love really consists of, why, go to 1 Corinthians 13. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. And you know, you can pray over these things specifically, and by the grace of God, pray them into your life. And your whole life can be changed. The same thing with your thoughts. Oh, how important are our thoughts. How important are our thoughts. As all of us, whether we're 13 or 30, and maybe you haven't been saved till you're 30. Well, here's a place to begin then. We need to really begin to really deal with God. Maybe you see some things in your makeup, in your nature, where you're not patient. Or where you're not long-suffering, and maybe your thoughts. My, how we need to really guard the citadel of our heart. And how we need to have our thoughts purified and cleansed. Absolutely. And these days when there's all kinds of media thrown at people, and television, and so much that is unclean, and on the newsstands, and among the magazines. Listen, Philippians 4:8 is not in any sense of the word compatible with Playboy magazine or any other of these dirty, filthy things. Something like this can, shall I say, trip up an adult, and has tripped up people who were supposed to be in good standing in Pentecostal churches. And we have to realize, we ought to measure everything. Is this in accordance with the Word of God? Is what I am reading in accordance with Philippians 4:8? Are the pictures that I am looking at in accordance with Philippians 4:8? And if not, why, we ought to turn from those things immediately and put them away. Absolutely put them away. And turn from them abruptly. And if they're a temptation, why, that's something you need to talk to God about and call upon God for and say, oh God, take this love of this sinful stuff, this sensuality out of me. Cleanse me. Cleanse me from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. And let me perfect holiness in the fear of God. Dear ones, this is the kind of solid teaching that we need. And these are things to pray about. And I pass this on. There are many in our midst here who are in their teens. Listen, God wants a pure temple and a clean temple. And thank God He can have pure and clean and holy teenagers. And God wants pure and clean and holy adults too. Praise the Lord. And as I say, I have not told this story just for the sake of reminiscing at all. But I personally, I go back and I deal with God oftentimes on the 3rd of August about the things that were spoken to me then. It's good to check up. It's good to jack yourself up. It's good to deal with God about these things. And until there's an absolute victory, oh, God is after a real victory, a real cleansing from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and He wants us to really learn to perfect holiness in the fear of God. I am sure that I shall be thankful throughout all the ages of eternity for the way in which God from high heaven thundered at me that day and spoke to me and warned me and enabled me to seek Him and enabled me to go through that year without backsliding and really to go on. Wasn't that I was, did any grand job at all. I'm not trying to say that. I fulfilled perhaps pretty well boy fashion. And there was much that had to be added to it, much that had to be done in the days to come. Much, 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 much seeking, much greater diligence, and much greater earnestness, and a deeper experience that God was right. But I'm so glad that at least God made a beginning. Hallelujah. And God wants to make a beginning, and then He wants to build upon that foundation and stand, take us all the way through. Praise the Lord. And so if you don't know what to pray about, well, here are some of the things that you can pray about. Praise the Lord. God is after a church that is a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Hallelujah. I've always been so happy for a young people's rally that I attended many, many years ago, in which one of the ministers got up and quoted that marvelous verse in Ecclesiastes. Let your garments be always, let your head lack no ointment, and let your garments be always white. And that's good for all of us, young or old.
I see some of you took out your notebooks, and that's good. I would encourage all of you to take out a piece of paper to write on, maybe in the back of your blue book. Because I think it's important when we go to prayer that we don't say, well, I don't know what to pray about. Some young people will tell me, "Well, I don't know what to do, and I don't know what to say. I have no request to bring before God." Well, were you given some specifics now, things to pray about? What is Philippians 4:8 anyway? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So what was one thing? We only have a few minutes on this, but what was one thing he said we should pray about? What was the first thing God talked to him about?
Being pure.
Okay, that was one, but that wasn't the first. What was the first thing?
Conceit
was one. It started with the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. Right? He said, you ought to have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And what are those characteristics, godly characteristics? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Could we pray over those things? You need any of those things in your life? Are they all there? As God wants them to be? Okay, well, and the other thing was conceit. What does it mean to be conceited? You're the man. You are, Brother Tom. You're the man. And he used another word. Stuck on yourself. Like my niece Valerie, she has that apron. All this and I can cook.
I think I'll be right around.
Right. We're happy you're here. All right, you writing this down? What else? What else do they say? Someone said our thoughts. Our thoughts, the things we think about. How important that is. And you can put next to that Philippians 4:8. Then he talked about love. 1 Corinthians 13, we can pray about the love chapter, over the love chapter. Someone said about being pure. Anything else that I'm missing? Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Be specific about it, yes. We like to say, Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me. We use that a lot. I'm guilty of that. Well, what do I want God to do to bless us? Well, maybe a good blessing is if He convicts us of sin. Could we go to prayer and ask the Lord to do that for us? Lord Jesus, show me. Show me the things that displease You. Show me the things that aren't right. Show me the things that You want to change. Lord, convict me. God, I don't want to be the same. I want to be different. I want You to change me tonight. I remember he was just a young boy, 12 years old, and the Lord tells him, I want you to study the Bible and pray an hour every day. I wonder why God has vessels that He can use. Why? Because they give themselves and they're obedient to God and they pay the price. And so tonight, as we pray, let's include these specifics in our prayers. And then when we go from this place, and or as we continue in these days, we have times of prayer. Well, if you don't know what to pray for, open the book and back where you wrote now and say, Lord, what about my thoughts? Am I holding something in my heart against someone else? Did you catch that? I think he said that. Maybe you have something against a family member. Some bitterness or malice. He used the word malice in your heart to someone. Well, Lord, take that out of my heart.